This episode of WDW Today is brought to you, as always, by Off to Neverland Travel. If you're planning your next vacation to Walt Disney World, you're going to want to check them out. They're a concierge expert service, not just Disney fans helping you out. They are Disney experts. They want to make sure your vacation is awesome, plan out your perfect itinerary, and make you have a magical event with one of their magic makers.
Also, you can become a magic maker if, you know, you feel like you can do a good job of planning these travels and trips and all sorts of things on your own. Go to their site at gotoneverland.com, and you can find out how to be a magic maker yourself.
That's right. Again, the website, gotoneverland.com. And if you're planning your next vacation, as Will likes to say,
all you've got to do is pack.
And a special thanks to Audible.com for supporting us here at WDW Today. Great audiobook company, subscription service. You're going to love it. For a free 30-day trial, go to audible.com/WDW. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now, here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, June 8th, 2016. This is episode 1515 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
Terry's out today. We're joined with two special guests this week. First, we have our buddy Danny Magnino, who's chilling out with us. Danny's never been to Walt Disney World, has a family, he's planning on it, Southern Californian, and he's been to Disneyland quite a bit. Fun stories from Disneyland, but never been to Walt Disney World. And as we know, it's a different beast whatsoever. So I know a lot of people do listen who are planning their first Walt Disney World vacation, or even maybe something that's different, like the first Walt Disney World vacation with their kids, you know, something like that. So we're going to get into that. But also, as you probably saw in the title card, joining us for listener questions this week, Lynn is out with some personal commitments. So we called up our good buddy, Matt Hochberg. Yes, Matt Hochberg, the godfather, the creator himself, returning to Walt Disney World today for some listener questions. So it's going to be a lot of fun talking with Matt. But first, let's talk with Danny. Now, Danny, we'll do this like an AMA.
Ask me anything.
Well, no, that's, I was more thinking like a Delilah.
Delilah.
Oh, here we go with Danny. Danny's never been to Walt Disney World before.
Tell me about your first time
at Walt Disney World. Something different.
Yep.
We got high hopes for that.
Yeah. So Walt Disney World, you've never been to before. And you did grow up going to Disneyland. Was something you went to regularly? Are you really familiar with Disneyland already?
Absolutely. I think that growing up in Southern California, it's kind of the normal California thing to do.
Like, it's your local park.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even if you're not a huge Disney enthusiast, you end up there quite a bit, like just by nature, whether it's school trips or vacations or whatever you do.
Concerts and things.
Yeah, it's kind of like the easy out, I feel like, for a lot of people to be able to go and do that. But I loved it.
Yeah, so you loved it. And we've always talked over the years, that's been sort of your almost weird hesitation of going to Walt Disney World is, how can it live up to Disneyland? Which I think is the opposite of what most people on our show listen for. They go, I'm going to go to Disneyland for my first trip. How am I going to deal with the fact that it's so small and dealing with how it's different? You got kids, small kids, little kids, a newborn essentially.
All the kids.
And
the newborn manager expectations can't ride most of the rides.
That's true.
Space Mountain, fine.
Legally, maybe, but yeah. Well,
you could put her in like a sling
backpack,
hide her like a belly, good to go. If I could fit on one of those attractions, you can with your baby,
with child covered belly.
Yeah, child belly. It's a product we're offering on WDW.
Order your child belly today.
It's the worst name too.
Yeah,
just not descriptive at all.
Yeah, it's just child belly.
Child belly. But for you, you're going, you have small kids. Your oldest is 3.
Yes.
Just turned 3. So a 3-year-old can do some stuff, though. So, I mean, that's a great time to go. I can say with Riker, with our son, that when we take him now, it's a lot different than when we took him when he was very young, which when we were taking him pretty much for us. Now we're taking him, and he is remembering, enjoying, always talks about going to Walt Disney World. So I think you're going to like that. When it comes down to it, though, it is such a different beast from any vacation you're going to plan, because it is very self-contained, but not in the way that Disneyland is. Disneyland, you obviously get out of the car once, and you're good to go. If you've never been to Disneyland, folks, if you're listening, Disneyland Resort is the hotels, other than maybe, you know, it's the park one, but the main two hotels, Disneyland Hotel and Grand Californian, are connected to Downtown Disney, which is connected to the two main parks. Very similar to Universal, I'd say, in Orlando. Kind of has a city walk area and then the two parks connecting it. But even closer, I'd say even tighter than even that. So when you have this situation we've never gone before, I think it's important to manage your expectations. And we always talk about managing expectations. Our friends at Off to Neverland, our travel agent, always say manage your expectations, because you've seen for the last 30 years of your life, roughly, ads for Walt Disney World where you're going to think your daughter's going to be skipping down Main Street with Mickey Mouse. A lot of people think going into it, that's what's going to happen.
Not going to happen.
No.
No. I mean, yes, all things are possible.
I've never seen a 3-year-old skipping down Main Street with Mickey.
No, it's only on the ads.
I like that you just said you could buy off Mickey.
You can, you can rent a Mickey. It's expensive.
I have that website, rentamickey.com.
Authentic or New York?
Like, New York Times Square?
New York Times Square.
I can get you a Mickey.
Oh.
You want a Mickey? I can get you a Mickey.
You know,
I got a guy in Peru. The big one. Any Mickey.
He makes a good Mickey. Seriously, folks, if you want one, I'm a middleman of a costume dealer in Peru. I wish that was a joke. I've ordered many custom costumes from him. He does have pretty authentic Disney characters. It's bootleg and probably illegal, but you know what? Hey, whatever. Contact me. Message me. I'll hook you up with him.
I would say another thing is also consider the time of year you're going. I know that in the summer in Southern California, it can get hot, but it's not the same kind of hot as Orlando and where you're
miserable.
Right. All it's day. So humid. It gets over 100 degrees. And when you've got young kids, that's something you got to be really careful about, because it's really easy to get overheated or just to have a tantrum because it's miserable. So be aware of the time of year you're going and plan out your day based on that time
the
of
weather
year
schedule.
And just trying to make sure that everyone has as much fun as possible without having a freak out. Whereas also, looking at Disneyland, you can get a lot done within a day because of the proximity of everything. Don't think you're going to Disney World and just going to bam, 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 knock everything out, especially with kids.
See, I think that's where I would have a problem. That's part of the rush of Disneyland, is like you go in and people who have been several times, like, they start creating algorithms and, like, different orders of, like, rides that they do in a specific order.
Maximize your time, yeah.
And they know how to avoid lines. They know how to do this and do this and do this all rapid fire, to where you're never having to sit still.
It's like a game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like a totally, like, there's structure to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where I'm afraid of Disney World.
Yeah.
Of, like, just being so overwhelmed that I can't just, like, rapid fire rip through it, which I'm sure is false.
Yeah, there are ways to do it. Our friend who's on the show, typically, weirdly not on this week, Lynn Testa, has a company called Touring Plans, and you know they help you through that. They make sure they give you a crowd calendar. Here's the best days to visit, the best times to visit. You can set up the attractions you want. They'll line them up in the best order. Now, also, FastPass Plus is something you may not be familiar with, which is now you can make your reservations for FastPasses on your phone months before you go to the park.
That's tight.
I
won them. Like, I was... I think it's actually the last two times I've been to Disneyland. It's several years ago now, but they were doing some anniversary celebration.
The Year of a Million Dreams, probably.
Yes. And they were in random spots of the park at very specific times of the day. I got it twice, and it blew my mind. Like, being able to just rush past the line. Like, right. I'd never done anything like that. I'd never upgraded my tickets, never done that.
Yeah. Well, at Walt Disney World, the best way you can do it now is now that everyone can. Everyone go in and book three rides, and then you have a rolling fourth. So once you've completed the third ride of FastPass, you can then get to fourth. Now, sometimes it's harder to get the higher-end attractions, and, you know, there's things you have to play the game. But as long as you're well-prepared and you're dealing with someone, and you know me, and I can hook you up with Lynn, you know people that can help you through it, it's great. Also, the hotels are a big thing. We preach a lot of different things. Terry very much stays on property usually when he visits. Will typically is kind of in the middle, maybe even stays at an off-property hotel, and I stay at a vacation home that I rent for, you know, like an Airbnb or an all-star vacation home. For your kids, that's something that I preach pretty heavily because, yes, there's things you get by staying at Walt Disney World at the attraction. You get to stay extra magic hours, means you get to go later, go earlier the next day. They have different special hours for people that are staying on property that give you benefits for that. Obviously, there's things you can get that are priority when it comes to making those FastPass reservations, things like that. We get further days out. However, with small kids, being able to pull up to a house and put your kids to sleep, you know, in separate rooms.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing is a huge benefit for the same or much less sometimes of what you'll pay for a single room at Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. Now, that's variable. Depends on what time of the year, you know, where you're willing to stay. If you're staying at a deluxe resort, moderate, or a value resort. But even a value resort can be hundreds of dollars a night. And for that, you can have a 5-bedroom home, you know, that's 15 minutes off property. And that's been a big benefit for us as young parents taking our kids, because it is that bit of, it gives you your point to relax, where instead of now the kids lay down and you have to be quiet for 3 hours, it's now the kids lay down, you go hop in the pool or go to the movie theater that's in your house, because they've decked these awesome vacation homes out on Airbnb or wherever you book. And so that's a great tip. And that's something that I preach to everybody who's going, especially with young kids or going in large groups.
One thing I kind of, this is probably a little bit of a weird analogy, but I want to make it that might be able to help with the expectations. When you go to the beach, people are like, oh, I love the beach, right? There's a difference in going to the Gulf of Mexico and going to the Atlantic or even the Pacific, where there's, it's just a completely different thing, but they're both the beach. That's kind of how I would describe Disneyland and Disney World. I think Disneyland is more like the Gulf of Mexico. Beautiful, a little bit calmer to a degree because it's more contained, so you don't have the big waves, you don't have all that. Then Disney World is more like the Atlantic. There's people surfing. It's a little bit more wild, bigger, more expansive. You can enjoy going to both beaches, but you got to have in mind, if you're a surfer, you're not going to surf in the Gulf of Mexico. You're going to have
absolutely,
a
absolutely, but that's the same argument I have. I'm a Californian that loves Disneyland.
Right.
Like, why
but
I even
would you
want...
enjoy going to the Gulf of Mexico?
Absolutely. Okay. I do that.
Yeah.
So exactly.
And also,
so
you're now living in the...
Absolutely.
In the,
I get it.
You're living in the Mideast now.
Dubai?
Yeah, you live in the Middle East, and getting to Disney World's a lot cheaper than getting to LA.
Absolutely, yes.
And a lot less travel for... You can hop in the car and be there. We could be there. Let's see. Right now, we're recording at 2.
Let's go.
We could be there by midnight.
All right.
You know, theoretically, we could get there, and it's different. If you aren't driving, and you're not going to drive...
I'm oddly tempted to do that right now.
I always am.
Whenever you make that, like... statement of, man, we could be there by midnight. I'm like, I'm going to be up 1500 by midnight.
Why don't we do that all the time?
Guys, shut off your cell phones. We'll make it to at least like Georgia by the time we tell them.
By the time we get pulled over, be like, oh, this car was reported stolen in Tennessee.
But that being said, for kids, trying to help guide their expectations even strange. For a dad, look, there are going to be moments you're going to be stressed out. There are going to be moments that are not as fun and as pleasant. You just have to know that's going to happen.
That's life.
Because it's life. It's like that at home.
Yeah.
But imagine it's 90 degrees and your kid's been up, no nap. You know, that's how it kind of feels. But your kid also has been indoctrinated a little bit in seeing some of these visuals from Disney World, especially if you get them excited for Disney World. Like the they don't show in the ads, check us out, a 90-minute wait, you know, and they don't do that. It's Mickey Mouse and the princesses skipping down Main Street. It's really personal moments. And when you do have those personal moments, they're amazing. And there are those little pop-up surprises that happen. But you have to help with them. What I've done is, look, for me, I've gone to Walt Disney World a million times. Nothing can be spoiled for me. For you, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. But it's almost worth spoiling an attraction for your kid. So your kid has an idea of what they're going to experience. So instead of watching the Walt Disney World produced video they send you, go to YouTube. Go to our friend, the Big Fat Panda. I know you're probably going to go, what is that? Big Fat Panda YouTube channel. Great POVs and things like that, where you can see what these attractions actually are. These even 360 ones now you can find. You do VR experiences and kind of visually figure it out. But one of the things, Riker, my son, loves the Haunted Mansion now. He gets kind of scared, not super easy, but he's definitely like we saw Beauty and the Beast last night.
Well, he's young, yeah. So it's not
he's
scared.
But he knows if he something anticipates something scary, he'll get scared. So we saw like Beauty and the Beast last night, and I had to kind of on the Broadway production version, and I had to kind of keep telling him, this is pretend. Even when the Beast first came out, he covered his eyes, and then eventually took it down. It was fine. We started reading the Haunted Mansion comic book, and it kind of introduced him to the themes he was going to see, the visuals he was going to see. It got him excited about seeing those things, not scared. Most of the attractions are not scary. That's kind of one of three. But it's one you can take the whole family on, so that's also the thing. And the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland, that's also because there are some of those, like the attractions are slightly different. Haunted Mansion's fairly similar. I'd say the Disney World one is more technologically advanced. They keep updating it. Disneyland, they've kind of made adjustments throughout the years. They've added stuff. They've added big moments, but they haven't done big overhauls. So Disney World, they have. Maybe that's a thing you can kind of look at, is there's some of that. There's maybe you've California Adventure, which is amazing and not nostalgic, but it's put in great attractions. And then at Disneyland, they've kind of, they've altered them in a way that's respectful. And most likely you won't even notice. Where Disney World, you're not going to have that experience. Where we talked about this the other day is there's a good chance you go do an attraction this week and you go back in 5 years and it's gone. Disneyland, not so much. Occasionally they do, obviously they're building Star Wars Land. That's a huge addition, but they don't usually just take out something that's maybe somewhat beloved for updates. Anything else to manage expectations? Dining is different. You have to make your reservations for dinner 180 days out.
Do they serve churros?
They do have churros. More selective, I'd say, than at Disneyland, but they do have them. Most parks have them.
Just trying to eat a churro and frozen lemonade, that's all.
You'll be fine.
You'll find them, yep.
And hey, one key difference is obviously Disneyland park, no alcohol. Disney World, Magic Kingdom, it has been no alcohol until they just added a few years ago the Be Our Guest restaurant, where if you go eat there, you can get limited imported beer. So there you go.
And Epcot, drink crazy.
Well, you could do. Oh yeah, and Epcot, the adult Disney World, have a day off, take a day to yourself. Character dining is also huge there. That's something that's another huge tip that I always say, worth the expense. Would you rather pay a little bit more money and have Mickey Mouse and his friends come to you and your table where you get your picture with your kids, or go wait an hour? You're going to eat anyway. It's a great way to do it. Is it more expensive? Yes. You could obviously just meet that. And Mickey Mouse talks at Disney World.
Kind of blow my mind.
I'll show you some videos. Yeah. I think that's it. How do you feel? You got any other questions?
Man, I feel great. Like, I'm stoked to go. Like, that's the thing, is I'm not like reserved. I'm not like not going to go because I love Disneyland.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing, is like, even what you were saying about like technological advances and things like this. Like
magic bands.
Absolutely. Like, I know that Disney World is way more, has a lot more to offer.
Expensive.
Yes, yeah. In every sort of fashion. But that's kind of what makes it feel endearing about Disneyland.
Well, exactly. It's what makes it feel stressful to book a Disney World vacation sometimes. Because it's, you could go parasailing, you could go bass fishing, or you could go do the four parks or the two water parks. Mm-hmm. There's so much that you have to decide. I'm not doing everything. What do you want to do?
That's where I have a hard time.
Yeah.
You can't. Disneyland, you make that decision while you're there.
Yeah, not going to happen. You have to make that. That's honestly been the biggest probably issue, is the reason this kind of podcast exists, is because you do have to plan out your Walt Disney World vacation so early now. You know, you have to make your dining reservations if you want that top restaurant 180 days out. You have to make your, if you want to meet Anna and Elsa, you have to book this certain fast pass, or you're going to be waiting in line 3 hours.
Yeah, we joked about we could be there by midnight, but we wouldn't necessarily have the most productive experience tomorrow.
Right.
Like,
we'd have fun.
Yes, because it'd be us three guys. But if you were like with your family, let's drive down to Disney. And
if it was your first trip, yeah.
Right, it would not be a good idea. Whereas, like you said, Disneyland, you could probably get away with that a little bit.
And Disneyland relies on locals. You know, it's heavily locally traveled. Where Walt Disney World, how many times did you go to Disney World when you lived in Orlando?
I wasn't an annual pass holder.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll put it that way. I probably went more than most.
Right.
But actually our local park, like you said, was more universal.
Yeah.
It was a little bit closer.
A little bit cheaper.
And a little bit cheaper and a little bit easier to do.
Yeah. And even that was like still really for tourists.
Right.
Because, you know, and I think that's maybe even a big difference with Disney and Disney World, is where Disney World is tourist land. All tourists. Well, Anaheim is still fairly, like the surrounding it is Disneyland, you know, the junk motels and that stuff. You go though 10 miles out and it's not. It's where people live and work. Disney World, you go 10 miles out, you're still in Walt Disney World. You go 20 miles out, you're still in Walt Disney World. Eventually you make it to like getting closer to downtown Orlando and those type of things. But that is, you know, it's another world. They do though help you stay on property. That's one, maybe we'll wrap it up. Transportation. You talk about that, seems daunting. Transportation is something that is they give you free transportation wherever you want to go. Is it the easiest, most convenient way? No. Do we encourage you to rent a car? Absolutely. But if you don't, you can literally, you land, they'll send you bag tags, you put on all your luggage, you get in a bus, the Magical Express, they take you to your hotel, You don't even go to baggage claim. They pick up your bags, which is a little freaky. They pick up your bags and take them to your room. They'll be there by sometime later in the day.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's a little weird. I've only done it like once or twice, but it works. And people do it. They send you the pre-packaged tags, and you put them on your bag, and they go. They're literally at baggage claim waiting for those tags, taking them and throwing them on the buses as they come. You get to your hotel. You maybe get checked in if your room is ready, but either way, you can get checked in somewhat, and you can go hit the parks. And you can start doing it. While you're there, there's bus services everywhere. Bus, monorail, and water taxi.
Yeah, like how the monorail in Disneyland is more of an attraction because of the novelty of it and everything that it was. Yeah,
it can take you to Disneyland.
Most people are just doing it to ride the monorail.
Yeah.
It actually is it's the major form of transportation
for the Magic Kingdom.
Within Magic Kingdom and the resorts that are along the monorail line. So that's another thing is you think about some of those things that you're familiar with the monorail.
So there's two monorail lines. Well, let's be a good way to do it. So buses go everywhere. You can take a bus to anywhere from downtown Disney, which is now Disney Springs, what they call it now. And it's been it's beautiful. You'll actually really like it. I was a little off.
Sounds like a place I want to live.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they have that too. Golden Oak, which is a neighborhood you can build. I cannot afford it. You cannot afford it. You cannot afford it. And honestly, if you looked in there.
Our three powers combined, we still cannot afford it.
Let's get a shack.
The three powers combined, we wouldn't want to afford it. No offense to people who live in Golden Oak. I looked down at their beautiful homes, but you live 5 minutes away. I've also heard my buddies who live there. One guy said that, not buddy who lived there, a buddy of a buddy. I don't know anyone lives there. Sorry, I'm not friends with Beyonce yet. It would be. Said that they have to stagger their bedtimes for their kids because of fireworks. So they have to read the fireworks because it's a mile from the Magic Kingdom. So they're launching the fireworks different times each night. So they have to be like, all right, get the kid down either at 8:55 or 9:12. Or if we don't, fireworks go off, wake everyone up. So there's some negatives to spending on that $3 million house at Golden Oak. But there's some cool stuff too. Not going to say I wouldn't want to do it. All right. Well, there's something I was getting to. That. Oh, transportation. That was the last one. So buses take you everywhere. Wherever you want to go, you can either go to even the hotels. You go to transportation and ticket center. If you go there, it can literally get you anywhere on property. So there's a monorail. The monorail will take you to the Magic Kingdom. It can also take you, there's a resort monorail loop that takes you to the Polynesian, the Grand Floridian, the Contemporary, and the Magic Kingdom, and the Ticket and Transportation Center. So there's two lines of Magic Kingdom monorail. You stay at one of those, the monorail comes to your hotel. They're obviously the most expensive resorts, typically. There's also water taxis that can take you multiple different ways. There's a big, giant boat that will take you from the Ticket Center to the Magic Kingdom. There's some boats that take you to different resorts.
Is there a lazy river?
There is a lazy river, I think
at Animal Kingdom Lodge?
I think so. I think we talked about that the other day.
Yeah.
There are some hotels with lazy rivers. And then last...
Not inside Magic Kingdom, no.
No. The last...
There is not a lazy river inside.
I'm sure there is in a water park, too.
No, but not inside Magic Kingdom.
You're right.
There
you're
isn't.
Unless
you include
like Small World.
That is the laziest of rivers.
So slow. And then lastly, your last form of transportation would be... Obviously, if you rent a car and you can just drive everywhere. Now, to get to Magic Kingdom, you still have to go to the Ticket Transportation Center or you valet at one of the resorts and you can go from there. I think that pretty much Uber. You can Uber everywhere still, too. I think that I'm whispering now. I think that gives you a good idea of what you can do. If you're just in it for party time, too.
Is there an equivalent to Downtown Disney?
Yes, that's Disney Springs.
Okay.
It recently changed. The name was Downtown Disney till a year ago.
Got it.
Or not even. It became Disney Springs. And the reason they changed the name is it used to have what's called Pleasure Island, which was this awesome late 80s, early 90s nightclub scene that obviously went down because no one goes to nightclubs there in our generation. And they have kind of rebuilt it with really nice restaurants and different things like that. House of Blues is there. Things that are you'll find some things that reminisce of
restaurant
Disney.
Shopping.
Bigger restaurant shopping. Now they just opened like a real like go to Sephora like a real like kind of more like Downtown Disney where there's not just Disney stores. There are now stores that are
third party merch
mall stores and the Disney stores. And then there's also options like the Boardwalk, which is I'd say a mix between sort of Downtown Disney, which is an area in the Epcot Resort area, which has a big boardwalk, kind of like a new, I guess what they would, like an Atlantic City, Atlantic, whatever. I guess that's probably right?
Sure, yeah, like a...
like a pier, like a boardwalk pier.
Or like San Francisco Pier kind of thing, maybe.
Kinda, yeah,
Santa Monica Pier.
It has restaurants.
Atlantic City Pier.
Now you're just pier talking.
Lots of piers. But it has restaurants, and it has shopping and little shows and people out in the streets. What you can take from there is two boats. A boat that takes you to Hollywood Studios, and my favorite, the one that takes you to the back door of Epcot, which means you just go inside where all the countries are. So if you're going for the party man, if you're going just to do what Will does... which is just go to each country and have a drink.
Just whistle it. Live the dream.
Yeah, live the dream. You can just go do that part. Don't even worry about the future world of Epcot.
For majority of my adult life, didn't know that future world was a part of Epcot. Just kidding.
So one day we'll go, just us. And there's also special events, Christmas and Halloween and those kind of things, and we can guide you through there when you get there, but maybe we'll do that the next time.
One problem is I noticed Danny was not taking notes on this, and this is a lot to... ingest.
But he will be able to listen to this.
Yeah, so maybe tweet to us if we left anything out, because I know Logan and I did. Tweet us and let us know what you would give.
Any questions
for Danny to manage his expectations?
You got any last minute?
You know what? I think I'm good. I think I've got stressed
out now. Like I can see it in your
oh
eyes.
Oh my God. That's the thing with Disney World. It's like...
I want to get Terry to parasail. I've been trying to get that to the beginning of the show.
Oh my God.
Because we want to experience everything on Walt Disney World. We want to do bass fishing. We want to do everything. But
we want to experience Terry experiencing parasailing.
So that's the goal. That's the life goal right there. All right. Well, that will do it for this segment of WDWJ. Thanks, Danny.
You're welcome.
Coming up, the return of Matt Hochberg on Listener Questions. We'll be right back. All right, we're taking a break here to tell you a little bit more about Audible.com. You heard about them. They're supporting us, and we want you to support them. They're the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 250,000 titles across all types, literature, fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, and great books for the Disney fan in your family.
That's right. Last episode, I talked about one of my favorite Disney books, which is the Kingdom Keeper series. You can get that audiobook version, which I think is a great thing to kill time in the car with your family when you're driving down to Walt Disney World.
It's a fun book. I love that book by Ridley Pearson. Check that one out. I like to suggest, I've been listening to on Audible, I'm an Audible member, proud member, I've been listening to Star Wars The Force Awakens, which is the novelization of the movie.
Nice little Disney tie-in.
It is a Disney tie-in, but also if you're a Star Wars fan, it goes into a lot more detail. So if you're a nerd like me and you want to know more, and it's all canon now, it's all officially canon, you can find out more about kind of what the thinking was behind some of the characters. You want to nerd out on it. It's like, you know, instead of a 2.5 hour movie, it's like a 3 or 4 or more than that hour book. You can get that all as part of your free trial at Audible. All you got to do is go to audible.com/WDW for a free 30-day trial. Again, that's not all they have. They have hundreds of thousands of books, a lot of the ones you've heard us talk about here on the show. And just so you guys know, as listeners, these are also listeners. These are fans of the show at Audible. So support them because they support us. We'd really appreciate it. Again, visit their website, audible.com/WDW, right now. And now, back to the show.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, well, that jingle lied a little bit, as we said earlier in the show. Today, Lynn Testa is out. And before you guys all boo and hiss and are sad, we are happy to be joined by the godfather himself, the king of the originator. I don't know. What would you like me to call you? You have so many titles. But one of the founders. How about the founder of WDW Today, Mr. Matt Hochberg? Thank you so much for sitting in with us today to answer some listener questions.
Hey guys, well, I needed to pick up an old sandwich I left in the fridge, so I figured I'd swing by and record with you guys.
I love that you passed along your refrigerator too. Like,
well, you know, it comes with the territory. You give them the podcast, you also got to hand over the fridge.
Oh, it's so nice to hear you. To hear you, it's a pleasant reminder of when people didn't just, you know, send us hate mail. So it's great. Well, we do have a bunch of listener questions. Some of these are aimed towards Matt. And we'll get some specific comments from him. But before then, some of these, you said you don't know where you're coming from, Matt. Some of these you may not know. You're not as Disney-centric as you once were.
No, I've actually moved up to the colloquial mountains. I've grown out my blogger beard, and I'm shaking my fist angrily at anybody and anything that comes near me. So, yeah, I'm a little out of the little rusty here, but, you know, I threw some warm-up pitches in the bullpen, and the coach thinks I'm good to go. So, you know, here I am.
Well, we're going to try to knock it out of the park then, to continue that baseball metaphor.
All right, so let's get to some questions. And I don't know if you know, Matt, we actually moved majority of our questions now come in from Facebook and Twitter. The reason being is because that email address was so clogged with spam that I could not sort through it. It was
pretty awful.
It was pretty bad. I wish I could just go and read the emails that came in. Just don't even screen them at all. Just be like, all right, here's we got these special pill offering. This is from Brandon on Facebook. He said, my family and I are planning a trip to Walt Disney World in October. We have a free dining for our first 4-night stay, and we're wondering what good options are there for the four of us to use the dining and not have to pay any additional for meals. Any tips or tricks would be helpful, as this is the first time we've used the dining plan. Now, we know historically you're a huge fan of the dining plan, Matt. what are your thoughts on that? So I guess what he's saying is this is just their first ever option to have free dining for their 4-night stay. And I guess any tips or tricks would be helpful. Are there any places that to you really can, I guess, plus your order when it comes to what you can get using dining plan credits?
Yeah, well, we're assuming that he has, or he or she, I forgot, I didn't catch the name, has the table service one, not the quick service one. Are we sure on that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so let's assume that they've got the standard issue dining plan, in which case I'm so sorry. second of all, what you really want to do is focus obviously on restaurants that are 1 table service credits. So you definitely do not want to go to 2 table service credits. It's always a bad value anyway, even if there's one constant about the dining plan, that's definitely one of them. So you're going to want to focus on restaurants that are 1 table service credits. Some good options for you. The character breakfast at Ohana is actually 1 table service. That's a decent value.
And it's great. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's a character meal. Who doesn't love a character meal? Be Our Guest Dinner is another one. Le Chefs de France, Tappanetto, one of my favorites. My wife loves Tappanetto. Tappanetto is the hibachi-style dining in Japan. So those are 3 or 4 that I think really are ones that definitely I think are worth your time. And essentially what you're going to look to do is just make sure that you're taking advantage of the credits and you're eating at locations that take 1 table service credit, so that way you're not overspending your credits and taking advantage of what Disney gives you in the plan.
Doesn't seem like anyone's rusty at all there, Matt. That was
what are you talking about? You may swing and miss here. That was a fantastic answer.
That was great.
Now
to follow up on Brandon's comment, here's the problem. I've been listening to this podcast for as long as a lot of you guys, for 10 years or so, more than that now. I never have done the dining plan because I'd been advised against it for the last 9 years of going to Walt Disney World. So I can't really speak into that. However, that Ohana breakfast I did the last trip, that was the first time I had done it. We're big Chef Mickey's people. My family always goes Chef Mickey's. It was a very big breath of fresh air at Ohana because, yes, you have Stitch and Lilo, which are not necessarily your most A-level characters. But there was also Mickey and I believe, I can't remember who was there, Mickey and Pluto, who were there as well. And just the fact that it's the character dining without the buffet where they bring it to you and all that, that's a huge plus. It's much easier to manage. You can sometimes get some really good photos. So, and one of them showed up on our photo pass that comes with my annual pass that came with free. And they took a professional photo pass photo there.
So
it was nice. Awesome.
Good little tip there.
That's a good tip. I'd say that's a great option. And let's move on to some more questions. Will, you want to take one?
Yeah, we've got Carrie, another Facebook question.
Carrie.
And Carrie says, this is
maybe
for you,
controversial.
Matt. This is for you, Matt. We know Matt is a big Royal Caribbean cruise fan, but can he name a few things that he prefers about Disney cruises? We miss you, Matt.
Thank you, Carrie. So
if money's no option.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things I loved about, and I still miss to this day about Disney Cruise Line, is I love the shampoos they give you, all the, what is the H2O products?
Yeah.
That they give you, the green shampoo. That alone is what I would cruise Disney just for the green shampoo again.
Just for the shampoo.
It's the green shampoo. Have you ever had the green shampoo?
Love
you know
it.
What I'm talking about. It smells amazing. It is, I have very much a Pavlovian response to the green shampoo. So much so I buy it on Amazon.
I was about to say home,
and it's like the same thing. You know, not the same. I'm still at home instead of a cruise ship.
If you're being at home, like being on a cruise ship, you have the best house ever.
You're just hoping that you close your eyes and you open your eyes, and magically you're back on the cruise ship.
That's right. I throw my towels on the ground and expect them to be picked up. It never happens
and
at home. But
assembled into animals.
You get in a lot of trouble for just throwing the towels everywhere.
Absolutely. Another thing I really miss about Disney Cruise Line, I think one, it's a really nice touch. I don't think it's worth the going paying for it, but I do think that when you go on a Disney cruise ship and they do welcome your family, that was always a nice touch. I can't deny that. Who doesn't enjoy that, right? Having the
so like, what happens if you haven't gone on a Disney cruise? You're saying like when you give them your name, that ceremony, is that not something?
Yes.
Okay. So you give them your last name or however you want to be, and they do a big entrance. Now welcoming the Seculo family.
Almost
and
like you're being introduced at a ball or something.
Yeah, it is nice. I actually didn't know that wasn't something that other cruise lines did. So
it's not. I mean, it's really not a big deal, but it's a nice touch. I give them credit where credit is due, and I've always enjoyed that. And the other thing, I guess, that I would probably add. I mean, there's been so many changes with. I always like seeing what's new and happening there, and certainly checking out the. I miss Palo Brunch. Brunch is something that, in general, like a specific meal, just like that. Royal Caribbean does not do, that I'm aware of, that I've ever seen offered anywhere. And so I'm going to say Palo Brunch. How about that?
Yeah, the Palo Brunch, I would say that as well. I have been on Royal Caribbean and on Carnival. And my main thing that I tend to – now, look, I understand the price difference. I understand the size of the ship. Some of these Royal Caribbean ones we see are amazing. But they – the one big thing to me that's always been sort of the factor – it could have been the cruises I was going on – is because you don't have the gambling and not necessarily as good of packages for free alcohol, it does seem to lead to a different kind of clientele sometimes going on a Disney cruise. Definitely more family-centered, less party-centered. Still plenty of partying happening on Disney cruise. But I don't know. That's just been my take. But again, that could just be the cruise I was going on, the ship I was on. I was never on the nicest of Royal Caribbean. I was never on the nicest of Carnival. All right, this comment came in from Barry Wallace. Barry, I think it was in one of our Facebook groups, I think maybe our Nashville Facebook group. He said, I've heard some people say Rock and Roller Coaster has outgrown its Aerosmith theming. If you had to pick another rock and roll person, group, musical genre, or something completely different to replace Aerosmith, what would you pick and why would it make the ride even better?
So I think it's a great question, Barry. Yeah. And I think that one of the reasons why Aerosmith was picked, I didn't realize at the time, but now looking back on it, the reason why you pick Aerosmith is because everybody likes Aerosmith music, right?
It's universally good.
Right. It works. It works on, I mean, kids know the music. Your mom knows the music. You know the music. I mean, especially the hits. I remember, you know, it's pretty universal. Right. It's not like a band that only really kids know. So like, as much as I would love a One Direction band to take over Rock and Roller Coaster and sing, you know, Best Day of My Life, it's not going to work, right? Because it doesn't really have that kind of
the universal appeal. Yeah,
exactly. So I think a band that probably is just right in step with Aerosmith in that same vein. I always thought it was Bon Jovi. I thought they've got hits that really span many generations. Everyone kind of knows them. You know, I think that would be a really good fit. I'm not saying that, and I do like Bon Jovi, but I'm not saying that my pick is necessarily my choice of the best darn music that's out there. I think that you got to look at it from the global standpoint. If you want to freshen it up, well, again, you're either going to pick a band that's going to have limited appeal or you want something that's wide appeal. So Bon Jovi to me kind of stands out. What do you guys think? Is there another band maybe that kind of does it?
Yeah, I think if you're wanting wide appeal, you can't go forward in future. You have to go back. So maybe even a band like the Rolling Stones or the Beatles or something like that that could...
In the same vein,
but so people would understand it. But Aerosmith, I guess I could see being more recent history than like the Beatles or something. It may be easier to say, okay, that music is dated. So if you wanted to make it a little bit less dated, you could go further back in history. That's kind of more of a classic, but I kind of like, and I don't think they could do this. It would be a major overhaul, but I like what they did at Universal they have a roller coaster there. I forget the name of the ride.
Bride and Rock.
Yeah, that's right. And you have a little onboard computer and you select the song you want to hear. And they have probably like 50 different songs to choose from.
Yeah. Different genres kind of cool. And all that. Yeah. I like that. That's a good idea. I'm really drawing a blank because I think you're right. I feel like it's the reason it's Aerosmith is because, you know, it's universally loved. Everyone loves it. Kids, adults, maybe we retheme it. Maybe we go WWE entrance themes. the John Cena you can't see express. I don't know. I think that that's a the guys threw out good options. I don't really have anything more than that, because I think you're right. It's this whole idea of universal appeal. I love the idea of picking your own music. The universal version of it is very sometimes difficult to do in time because you're at a weird angle, but I'd love to hear people's reviews of that. All right, let's again, I struck out on that one. I'm a music. We'll do Hamilton, the roller coaster.
That would be drawing a different crowd.
They have that American Adventure.
The American Adventure. That would be great.
All right.
Next, we've got a question from Joseph Yanoska. And he says, he prefaces this with hard question, guys.
I'm not sure if it's hard question for real or hard question.
Like he's being sarcastic.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm at the WDW in October for a conference. I have a choice of staying at the Poly or the Grand Floridian. Which do I pick?
All right. I don't feel like this is that hard of a decision, but Matt, I will let you, I'll let you take it from here.
I always go Polynesian. Of course, your work is paying for it. Now, I changed my mind, because if I'm paying cash, if Matt's paying for it, oh boy, I go for Polynesian. I just think Grand Floridian's way overpriced. Yeah. Apologies to my friends who enjoy the Grand Flow. But if work is paying for it, sure, say the Grand Floridian. Why not? I still think I like the aesthetic nature of the Polynesian better. But, I mean, Grand Flow is the premier, it's a flagship resort. So if work is paying for it and money's no object, which it sounds like it isn't, so go for Grand Floridian. Why not?
All right.
I think I'm torn, because I love the Trader Sam's Grotto now at Polynesian.
This thing, especially sounds like he's by himself, so like single man.
Before that opened, I would have said Grand Floridian, bar none. Just for the same reason that it is kind of that premier flagship. I like the aesthetic of it. I like the old Southern plantation kind of look to it. However, if you're there, you're on a conference, if you are by yourself or something, I mean, you got to love the Grotto.
Yeah, I feel I'm totally leaning towards Will. I mean, hey, I love the Grand Floridian. My wedding was at the Wedding Pavilion. We have all our photos done there. It's beautiful. I love the people. I love the way it's set up. But like I said, if you're there on a conference and you're a single guy, I would go Polynesian purely based on like what Will said. I love the Grotto. I love the Trader Sam's. I love sort of just the whole vibe that goes on the Polynesian. But I do think it's a hard question, because it's a good split, because you're not paying for it. If you were paying for it, I would say do Poly. If you're not paying for it, I still lean towards Poly, but I believe I'm outnumbered. So it looks like maybe I don't know. Did you pick Grand Floridian or Poly?
I leaned back. I said it. You waffled? I was torn. I said Polynesian because of that.
All right.
Because of the
So I'm the deciding vote. Darn it. Okay. Let me think about this for a second. I'm going still with the Polynesian, purely for Trader Sam's.
So it's unanimous.
I will take this one. This is from Derek Krungerger, who said,
was that last name?
Kroninger.
I don't want to say it.
Okay. I think it's Kroninger.
Kroninger. I think we've said this name before and got it wrong multiple times. What is the best grocery option for delivery or Uber to a grocery store when staying at a DVC with the full kitchen option? Matt, you're back in Orlando, right?
I am indeed.
Do you use any grocery delivery service or anything like that?
No, I used one in New York City and hated it. I just thought it took forever. They were never on time, and I never really liked them at all. Now, granted, I was doing this for week to week, because in the city, it's really hard to get like good groceries because it's a haul. So that's why we went with that. So it was kind of we were doing this literally week to week. One time, I'm sure it's fine. Gardengrocer.com is usually not a bad option. And I believe they work with going to Disney, because, of course, you have to be – it's not so much about the service as it is about where the services, you know, their area of where they go. The other thing to keep in mind, though, that's changed over the years, and I have used them very sparingly, but it might be an option. Again, check to see if it's available, is Amazon Amazon Now and Amazon Instant.
Yeah.
There's a thing now where they do same-day delivery. Mm-hmm. Where you can actually go in, so that morning, be like, oh, I would like, you know, whatever. And they have actually cold stuff. I'm not sure about produce, but at least some of the biggies.
You can
stock up on your stuff
like that.
I just used it today for Ecto Cooler. So that came from Amazon Pantry. That being said, I've used that Garden Grocer before. Mixed results. There's one service I use here in Nashville called Shipt. It's like it's like Uber, except it's a monthly subscription. I think it's $10 a month, $11 a month, plus obviously whatever you charge. They're great because they are sort of sourced by individuals in the area. They just started in the Orlando area. I'm not sure if they are at Walt Disney World yet, but we'll look into that. Shipped SHIPT.
It's exclusive to public stores. Is that right? Yes. So it's, yeah,
it's public stores. And also Uber is launching with, lots of them are launching different versions. I would say probably your easiest, because there are so many grocery stores around town, though. Get yourself to a grocery store and go from there. There are plenty of good options for delivery, and I've stayed in plenty of All-Star Vacation homes where I've had it delivered, and it is kind of to mixed results. It all just totally depends. The interface it shipped is great, SHIPT. And I know Amazon did just start the 1 or 2 hour delivery in the Orlando area. And I know some friends that live around Walt Disney World that have had it done. I don't know anyone who done it. I don't know who have had it done at actually on property. So we'll take a look at that. Maybe we can answer that later on.
Yeah, I was just to say one extra note on that. If you do decide to go on your own and get it, do not go to the Goodings that is at right across from Downtown Disney in the. I forget what the shopping center is called over there. That place is it's a ripoff. Unfortunately, they take advantage of tourists that go there. So what you want to do is just Google
like
Map.
Like a Publix. Price gouged?
Yeah, price gouged. Exactly.
Wow. Well, and yeah. Goodings, when I grew up in Orlando, was always the, because it was the local store, it was always more expensive than the others anyways. So, when you put it on property, which I think that might be the only Goodings remaining.
Really?
It is. Oh, they went out of business a number of years ago.
Like 15 years ago, they went out of business, so but they kept that Gooding.
So there's no corporate deciding how much things cost. It's like the gas stations by the airport where it was like $11 a gallon.
Right.
That's absurd. There are plenty of Publix. There's that Marketplace Winn-Dixie on 192. I've used that before. Never really had any issue. But depends on where you're staying. But there,
that's the Winn-Dixie that was Splendid themed China. After Splendid China.
And it still is. If you just want a taste of Orlando history, of theme parks no longer there, on 192 there was Splendid China being built, owned by the Chinese government, the tiny version of China, and so much so that the shopping centers around it are built to have like pagodas and to look Chinese themed. You go inside, there's like dolls of people from China,
like
fishing,
the miniature soldiers are almost all around the room.
Almost offensive to look at, but it's worth it. It's worth going in there and just taking a look. And it was that back in March, so I'd assume it's still there. All right, one last question for you, Matt, before you get to go back into your retirement.
This is from Lynn Smith, La Rochelle. Matt, please count the ways that Hollywood Studios is still the best park ever.
That's true. We haven't talked to you since pretty much everything has closed and all the things have happened. Is Hollywood Studios still your favorite of the parks?
It still holds a special place in my heart. Much like your first love, your first Ecto Cooler, you never forget it. And I would tell you that. Here's the thing. Have they closed I sound like Glenn. Here's the thing. So that was totally unintentional. I just said it off the cuff. Anyway, have they closed a lot of studios? Yes. But they closed a lot of D and C ticket attractions at best. I mean, Tower of Terror is still open. Everything, Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood Boulevard, Echo Lake, it's all there. So if you're really lamenting the loss of Backlot Tour, which was a shell of its former self, Magic Disney Animation, which you probably went to for the air conditioning more than anything, and other, minor attractions, well, then you have a deep taste in mediocre attractions. Exactly.
Yeah, we've been kind of preaching that this whole time. It's this thing of everything is closed, but what's actually been closed? When you really look down at that list, it's not anything. It's not anything that was really bringing you to the park at this point. Maybe some of those things you may feel that way. Maybe the Art of Animation, because it had a special place in people's hearts for character greetings. And maybe that you can say, okay, well, they took away some of the character greetings, but like the Star Wars launch base, pretty awesome. But I still love the Hollywood Studios. So to you, Hollywood Studios, still the pinnacle.
It has a special place in my
All right.
Both teams played hard, my man.
Okay, sounds good. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for jumping on here and filling in the shoes of Mr. Testa. He'll be back probably next week, depending on his schedule, I would assume so. But we really appreciate you just popping on and having a few questions with us.
Absolutely, and no problem at all. Although next time, can you guys fumigate this chair? It smells awful.
that's Terry's chair that you're in.
And I'm sure everyone knows who listens how to get in touch with you, but tell us, plug away.
I am at RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. You can find me there, everything, podcasts, blog, Twitters, Facebooks. They're all there, RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com.
All right, that's going to do it for WDW Today this week. Thanks a lot for listening. Obviously, special thanks to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Find out more about them at offkilter.net. Their big CD release party's coming up. You want to be a part of that? Obviously, join them and join us down at DLP Fest, De Las Puertas, DLPFest.com. And a special thanks to our sponsor, presenting sponsor, Off to Neverland Travel. If you're booking your next vacation, you want to use them. Use their experts to make sure you have an amazing trip. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. And obviously a new special thanks to our new friends over at audible.com. If you want that free 30-day trial for those digital audiobooks, you're going to love it. audible.com/WDW. For today's episode of WDW Today, I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
Come on, man. Do it for us.
And I'm Matt Hotchberg.
you want to close it out? How about you close it out? Come on. Oh, for all times. No ad reads, though. Don't worry.
I'm Matt Hotchberg, and we'll see you on the next show.
Oh, you have my heart.